So in these days, as we await the outcome of the findings from the Royal Commission, which I believe is the middle of December, we'll get those. There won't be any surprises, I wouldn't think, in there that you haven't already heard about, but it is a very sobering time. It was a sobering time when Malachi put those words together from the first reading as well, and he was specifically addressing the religious leaders of the church. It was a sobering time when Matthew penned the words in today's gospel, and he was using Jesus' lips and something that Jesus had said, once again addressed to the religious leaders. It seems to me that for Matthew, whose gospel was written about 50 years after Jesus died, it seems to me that Matthew's small religious Christian community was undergoing some kind of leadership battle at that time as well. That's what was happening when Jesus was amongst them, and he addressed so many of his corrections and directions to the leaders of the community. But before this gospel, they were always addressed as to the Pharisees, certainly, but to the Sadducees and the chief priests and the elders of the people. Those three. And then today, suddenly, they've all gone, and we get to the Pharisees and the leaders. So the Pharisees and the scribes. So the Pharisees, self-made religious police. The scribes are the men, the teachers, who looked at the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament. They looked at it, they examined the words, the phrases, and then they tried to apply that meaning in life. The Pharisees took the meaning and they made it rules and commandments. That's the weighing up, the burden that they placed on people. So you had two schools of thought. You had the Hillel school and the Shammai school. Not that that's all that important, but one was very right-wing, very conservative, black and white letter of the law. And the other was interpretive. It was a softer approach where we look at these words and their meaning at that time and what was the intent behind it. So a much more approachable style of understanding the written word of God and the spoken word. So in Matthew's community, I suspect that there was a bit of a power struggle going on, and you had the left and right battling it out again. But it was all to do with leadership. And so Jesus particularly addresses the great leader as the one Father that we have in heaven. The one Father. So when he says, don't call anybody else Father, don't call anybody else Rabbi, don't call anybody else Teacher, he is using hyperbole, which is a literary form for exaggerating a point, usually by the example. So when he talks about Father, you'll notice in the text that it is with a small f. And then Father, the one Father, is with a capital F. It's important because some of our separated Christian brethren say, oh, you Catholics, you call your priests Father. Directly in contradiction to this gospel. Well, people who look at the scriptures in such a literary way miss the point. They are happy to argue, but they miss the point of what Jesus is saying. And that is, it is totally about being honest and authentic, especially if you're a leader, a religious leader, a political leader, a person of influence, as the leaders of the church, as politicians, and as teachers are. They are great leaders of influence. And so he directs everything back to acknowledging the one Father, with a capital F. And when we think of fatherhood, we think of a protector, provider, and instructor. That's what earthly fathers do, mostly. They are protectors of family, they are providers for family, and they are instructors in family. They don't have that on their own. They don't own that duty statement, but it is their spiritual mission and physical mission in life. That's what a father does. And so we say that God, the Father, is our protector, our provider. He is our instructor. And anybody that has been given the care of introducing a soul to God the Father needs to do it honestly. And obviously that didn't happen in Malachi's day, and it wasn't happening in Matthew's time as well. There was a leadership issue going on. So I reflect now on the leadership issues, political as well as church, in these days. And I'm not so sure that there's a struggle going on, but there is certainly a time for us, particularly those of us who may be in any fatherly role, in a spiritual sense, in the community. We need to be absolutely honest and authentic in the way that we bring God the Father into the community, that we introduce strangers to God the Father, these children who are sons and daughters of God the Father. We have to be absolutely honest. We cannot be saying one thing and doing another, as Scripture says. We cannot dress up in finery and then underneath, in this shell underneath, be an evil person. That's called hypocrisy. And the word hypocrisy comes from the Greek word for actor. So if we've got people who are acting the role but not living the role authentically, they are really going to be humble. And God will do that. And I think that, for example, the outcome of the Royal Commission is going to be a time of great humbling for many in leadership in our church. And that's okay. That's okay. It's probably well deserved. And all of us can do with a good dose of humility, especially those that might be in teaching roles, in leadership roles, in priestly roles. I get very worried when I have young men or men approach me and want to talk about the priesthood, and they come forward as a prospective candidate for the priesthood and they are so pious. You know, the hands are clasped together and they're all caught up in the bells and the whistles and the drag of the cult of the church. They love the incense and the Latin singing and everything. That's all external. It has a role to play, but that's all on the outside. That's what people see. That is the broader phylacteries that Jesus is talking about. Now, phylacteries have got nothing to do with birth control methods. For those of you who don't know what it is. The phylactery is if you turn... Thanks, Kim, for shaking your head. If you turn to the front of your bulletin and look in the top right-hand corner, you'll see a sketch of two men. One of them has a leather band wrapped around his right arm. That is the phylactery. It comes directly from the book of Deuteronomy and Leviticus. And attached to that leather strap around the arm is a small leather box. And inside that leather box are words from the Torah. And it said in Deuteronomy, strap these things to your arm. So they literally do that. There's also the second one, it goes around the head. So you'll see a little black box on the head, little black leather box there. You'll often see it on news clips of Orthodox Jews at the Western Wall or the Wailing Wall. And they're like this and they've got their arms strapped up with a box on it and they've got the box on their head. That image is on the front of your bulletin. That is an external show. And that's what it is. It's a show. And that's fine if what's on the outside is also happening on the inside. But if it's not happening on the inside, then that's acting, that's hypocrisy. So I worry about people in the church who give off an external image that doesn't portray the love, the mercy, the compassion, the forgiveness of God the Father. Anybody can go through the ropes and do the show, but if those things are not seen and witnessed in our life, especially as leaders... And I talk to myself firstly here. If those things are not there, then we are living a lie. It is hypocrisy and there is no room for it. And it was the thing that Jesus was most against as he gave birth to his church. So we need to be on guard. I remember when I was in seminary, a professor, a very good professor, who actually became my spiritual director for 4 years while I was at uni, he used to come into the class, and he was a dogmatic theologian, so he taught the dogma, the teachings of the church. And he would come in and he would always begin every class with a prayer, which was reciting a psalm. And I sort of thought, oh, that's clever and interesting. It wasn't until I matured a little bit, I never thought I'd hear myself say that of me, but until I grew up a little bit in my priesthood, that the significance of that psalm really started to rest more comfortably with me, because it's challenging. It's the thing that stops me from getting a swollen head, is this psalm. It's the thing that makes me focus everything I say and do on God the Father, not on me. And that psalm is in our bulletin today too. And it goes like this. I know it more than I know my own mobile phone number. O Lord, my heart is not proud, nor haughty my eyes. I have not gone after things too great, nor marvels beyond me. Truly I set my soul in silence and in peace. As a child takes rest in its mother's arms, even so my soul. O Israel, hope in the Lord, now and forever. You are the new Israel. Put your hope in God the Father, the Lord, forever.